Psalms chapter 40, Psalm 40. I was really praying about this Sunday here as I was traveling a whole lot. We just flew in on Sunday early evening, got here about 5 o'clock in the evening on Friday, and had good smooth flights. A little bit cramped on the last part there, but praise God, I have my wife next to me. You guys' prayer helped us get the seats together on a totally packed 787 Dreamliner Boeing. I told Cheryl someone needs to pray for Boeing. Boeing needs to learn how to take and let their engineers realize the average person is not only 1 foot wide. They actually need about 20 inches on these overseas 10-hour flights. They made this new 787 Dreamliner with smaller seats than Southwest Airlines flights have in America, going from here to Chicago, whatever. So I don't know what engineer was involved in the making of that Dreamliner, but I call it more like a nightmare liner, okay? But praise God, it got us here on time. We saved them. We made British Airlines some money by cramming us in like sardines, and we all got here happily ever after. But we're praying for Cheryl. She had our family members had a little bit of thing in their throat, and that's kind of hit her throat as well. She talked a lot yesterday with the grandkids and the kids as well. So strained her throat a little bit, but she'll have her voice back at 100% by Wednesday night. Amen. By faith. So after the service, she'll be whispering a bit. She'll talk best she can. But God just give her a great time as well with her family and her loved ones there. I'm talking this morning here about not letting your past hinder your future. And I'm believing God again to help to take and let us be those who are hearing inside of our own spirit today. If there's anything the enemy is going to try to bring up in our past that tries to rob us of faith for today or for the future, God wants to put his finger, I believe, on that this morning and see those things totally squashed and brought down that don't belong in our lives. Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3, the New King James Version, or this actually is the New International Version, NIV. It says, I, David, King David, speaking here, I waited patiently for the Lord. It says, he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, your Bible might say a horrible pit, out of the mud, out of the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. What do we do in our own lives here to not let our past hinder our future? I want you to write some things down if you have something to write with this morning here. I do teachings, of course. I minister here on Sundays like this. But I want to give you some take-home points of things to think about this morning. So we might find some keys that God gives us by his Spirit, not let our past hinder our future. There's many people who they're trapped in their past, and their past is still haunting them today. And they're finding themselves hearing some bad things, even some good things took place from their past, that actually trying to haunt them today to drown out the voice of God that God's speaking to them right now by the power of his Spirit. The first thing I want you to write down here, number one, we must learn to and decide to tear down the echo chamber. So write that down, please. Tear down the echo chamber. There are many people for whom today never dawns because yesterday rules inside of their lives. They live in an echo chamber in their lives. It's a residual sound of an actual event. We understand that echoes come from what? Echoes come from sometimes buildings around us will bring an echo. Sometimes you can find yourself in a valley like the Grand Canyon. There'll be echoes in that. Sometimes you'll find yourself where there's mountains at. There'll be echoes from mountains and also from hills. Echoes are strongholds. They're valleys. They're things around us. Sometimes they're actually obstacles that have been placed there by even the powers of darkness around us. That the voice of God that tries to penetrate those valleys and those mountains has a hard time doing that when we find ourselves voicing things out by the echoes or by the actual events of our past. This actually created a stronghold, and the stronghold makes us speak a voice out that brings an echo back to us, that brings forth fear, that brings forth intimidation, that brings forth sometimes what the enemy's plan is, not what God's plan is. I'm praying this morning, help us, O God, discern. Are there strongholds? Are there mountains? Are there valleys I've gone through in the past that have built a stronghold around me somehow, some way? When I start hearing the voice of God, I start letting that old stronghold rise up, and I find myself speaking not what God's will is, but what my fears are, what my intimidation may be, what my own flesh feels, and from speaking those out, I get back echoes. Those echoes are sometimes louder than God's voice, because the Bible says God normally speaks by a still, small voice. You know, again, I'm so proud of the team that was there in Lusaka, because none of us compared notes. None of us said, what are you going to speak about in this given day? We had four solid days of teachings from 8:30 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon, or 5, every single day for 4 days. It's amazing how God brought an orchestration there to speak to every speaker there and show them what to talk about, and it all dovetailed together to bring the kind of breakthroughs Anson kind of touched on when he spoke here this morning. If you're going to be today a person just hearing what God's voice is saying, I want you to ask yourself this morning, ask God today, are there strongholds, are there valleys I've gone through in my past that God wants to deal with today, to fill the valleys in, to bring the strongholds down, that I don't find myself voicing out and speaking out the will of the devil or the will of my flesh. I want to speak out the will of the Lord. Do you realize, again, we all understand that are here, that have been watching TV and prophetic teachings and so forth, that tonight's the night of the fourth blood moon that takes place this evening. The Shemitah begins over there in Israel. That's actually gripped not just America. It's being talked about all over South Africa. It's being talked about in nations around the world. People are getting very, very skittish. They're getting a little bit sometimes even fearful of the things that are coming on the face of the earth. What God is saying to you and I this morning is, no matter what strongholds the enemy gets by with in these last days, every stronghold shall tumble at the voice of our God. For those who hear God's voice, know God's voice, and won't let the strongholds around them penetrate their own faith inside their lives and their hearts. It's where every noise echoes, or every noise being multiplied, repeated over and over again, created by hills, mountains, structures, and valleys around us in our past, in our lives. God's voice is lost in those who are hearing echoes that are made from high things that need to crumble in Jesus' name. I was at a social time after dinner with some of Cheryl's family in South Africa, probably about 8 days ago now. And this one couple, the in-laws were there. These guys are in their early 70s, probably late 60s, early 70s. And they were saying to me in almost a disappointed fashion, they're saying, is there any nation on the face of the earth today that can truly call themselves a Christian nation? I began to rack my brain. I can't think of a country today who actually their leaders label themselves as a Christian nation. I still consider America as a Christian nation. I don't care what any leader in our government may say for 5 years or 7 years or whatever years. I still consider this place to be a place that God helped us settle for religious freedom by the power of Jesus Christ. And I believe in God that we're going to see this nation also turn back to a place where our leaders start voicing out and not echoing. We are going towards Jesus, not away from Him. We're rejecting false religions. We're not embracing them in Jesus' name. And we still believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. Not because I'm intolerant and ignorant and stupid, but because I know God made everything, that God is God, there is no God besides Him, and God is to be exalted above every name that can be named on the face of this planet or beyond. Amen? And may that be voiced and the echoes become diminished that are saying our God is antique, our God is intolerant, our God is not wise. Our God is not the only God. May those echoes diminish more and more in America in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Y'all heard this verse before. It says, we are to be those that cast down arguments, cast down debates. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We need to stand up to the echoes of the past and not let them rule and reign in our minds any longer in Jesus' name. Whatever it may be, Satan, again, the Bible says, is the accuser of the brethren. And Satan's very good at creating echo chambers in your mind. Echoes are always a distortion of the real thing. When you speak out and yell out, hello, in the Grand Canyon, your echo comes back not exactly the way your voice voiced out the words hello a few seconds ago. Satan also takes the words that God speaks, distorts them just a little bit. He tweaks them for his own advantage. Satan even used God's word against Jesus to tempt him in the wilderness. But because Jesus Christ knew the entire counsel of the Bible, he would come back at Satan with the true voice of God, and through that defeated him by the echoes that Satan tried to bring to Jesus Christ to tempt him and drive him away from his own kingship upon the earth and the heavens. The Bible shows us that King David was also stuck in an echo chamber for a season of his life, being chased by Saul. In Psalms chapter 40, looking there at verse 2, again going back to verse 2 again, David says, he lifted me out of a slimy pit. Some versions, again, like I said, it says horrible pit. The Hebrew words for horrible or slimy pit actually means a room of noise. When you go through a time of valleys, a time of reversal, a time of stripping, a time of fear, a time of testing, you're going to find all kind of noises coming into your mind. Those noises are not all from God. Many of them come from the enemy himself. Now, I don't believe that Satan's omnipresent. Only God is omnipresent. Amen? But I do believe that Satan's got demons that work with him in a network that's even more powerful than Apple or Google. Okay? And these demons have been around for over 6,000 years, honing their trade. And they know how to take and get in people's homes, in their atmosphere, in their space, and bring noises in their minds that are not from God. That's why Jesus Christ, when Peter tells him before he dies on the cross, don't do this, Christ discerns. It's the enemy speaking to you, Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God at all. We got to be those that are in these last days discerning the noises coming to us. Are they from God or are they from the enemy or are they from echo chambers in our past? God's voice needs to be heard more clearly in this hour, this season. We're going through times of testing. David said this also in verse number 1. He said, I actually shattered the echo chambers by doing this. I waited patiently for the Lord. Even Cheryl and myself, being in ministry now, public ministry now for over 35 years of our lives, we still must be those who are waiting upon God silently sometimes and saying, God, what do you say about the thing we are facing in this life? Also for you guys as well. If God's doing something or the enemy's doing something here to try to vex someone's life in this congregation, I want to hear what God says about your situation, not what I say, not what the devil says, not even what you say, perhaps. What does God say about your situation? And the good news is, I believe God's will is easy to find for those who wait patiently upon the Lord. The word patiently in the Hebrew language means this. It means cheerful endurance. That's an oxymoron. You can't have cheerful endurance very easily. Amen? Only can you have that when you realize God brings forth the best for those who wait upon the Lord. Amen? We want things fast. We want things quick. We're very hasty in decisions. And God says, have cheerful exuberance and wait patiently for the Lord because God will bring the answer in due time, as he always does. The walls of the echo chamber are built either by one of two things. Either by being disassociated with past successes or a fear of duplicating past failures. Those two things actually build echo chambers in our minds. Being disassociated with past successes builds echo chambers or a fear of past failures coming back on us once again. An example of this is our neighbor again down the street, the house we live in for over 13 years now in Round Rock. This lady, I think she's actually divorced or a widow, lives about six houses down from us. Her son was tragically killed. A Marine was killed in Iran during the warfare against terrorism over 7 or 8 years ago. They've actually took and renamed some things in our young community for this young man. They were so proud of his heroism and the way he died in that war. But the mother became so depressed and so discouraged by her son's death that she loved so much. We began to see some things appearing in her windows in her yard. First of all, an American flag is put in her window when her son dies. Then we find a few weeks later a Marine symbol put in her window. Then a few months go by, there's also some rocks put in the front of her yard. Then a few more months go by, there's a Marine symbol and a flag and a cross put in the rocks in her front yard. Then there's banners, as months and months go by, banners are put up across her door and across the front. I began to say, what in the world is going on? We're getting more and more and more memorabilia about the Marines, about America, about his service, and about him dying in her yard, in her house, every month, as months and months go by. Holy Spirit spoke in my heart, and he said, this mother is getting afraid because as the months are going by, the memories of her son are getting vaguer and vaguer and less sharp. And so to preserve that, she's putting things out in her yard and her windows to make sure she will not forget who her son was. The sad thing was, as the months went by, this lady tragically died in a car crash all by herself. We don't know if it was done on purpose or done by accident, but by herself, at a high rate of speed, she slams into a median and she dies. And I'm saying to you again, echo chambers are built by us, having a fear that things of past successes will not come back to us again in this life, or past failures will haunt us until the day we die on the face of the earth. And what God is saying to us is, let your past be like waters gone by. Don't dwell upon too many successes. Don't dwell upon too many failures. Learn from them, build on them, and then move on in your life, because God is still unfolding your life, your destiny, the plan he's got for you on a day-by-day basis. Amen? And so what God's doing in my life today in 2015 to 2016 is not what God was doing exactly in 2001 or 2003. I need to be hearing for God's voice. The world's changing. Methods are changing. People are changing. Cultures are changing. Many things are changing very fast in nations all over the world. I want to be hearing God's voice because I still believe that harvest is in God's plan until Jesus returns. Amen? So we'll be hearing for God in the big picture. Every move of God, every move that God has released upon the earth has happened when a voice shatters the echo chambers of their culture, their civilization, and their time. Even in the church of Jesus Christ, there are too many echoes right now in the body of Christ. We need to hear the voice of God in this hour and in this season. I believe some of our young people in their 20s right now need to be getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, getting broken before God, so they may be hearing what God's voice is saying in them and through them, because they have keys, I know this, for harvest for America like nobody else has got. It's in them right now, being locked up in them. It is dormant, and I'm saying it's going to come alive. It's going to be shattered, opened up by God's Spirit in these last days. May God do this among us. The gay agenda is something that we all know about because it was pushed down our throats by Hollywood movies, by sitcoms, by the news, by politicians, by the newspaper, by billboards, by symbols on our White House. All these things were crammed down our throat to build strongholds in our country over the past year or two. Well, the fact is, we now embrace gay marriage like every nation does on the face of the earth pretty much today. It's amazing to see how every country went through the same battle we went through all across the planet at the same time. There is an agenda happening upon the planet that you need to wake up and realize again, build strongholds in nations. The stronghold's built. It's been passed. The law is there. The truth is, God wants us to love sinners, hate sin. Amen. We will never be those who hate gay people. We love homosexuals. We love gay people. I love Satanists. I love witches. These are all people Jesus Christ died for. Would I put him in office to be our president? No, I wouldn't. I don't want a witch running America. I don't want a Satanist running America. Amen? I don't believe what controls them could control our nation. I don't need that, okay? And so I'm saying to you again, pray for all sinners on the face of the earth. They come to Christ, but realize there's now strongholds that have been built, creating echoes. Echoes from Hollywood, echoes from movies, echoes from the news, echoes from dress and culture. It's embracing our children's lives, where most Christian kids today see nothing wrong with the thing we call homosexuality. The echoes are too strong. The echoes are too big. The chambers have been built, and they're getting stronger and stronger around us. But guess what? The enemy's not finished. You think that enemy gets by with one thing, and he says, okay, I am now satisfied. I am finished. It is done. He's not done. I want to say right now, the next agenda I see Satan pulling off upon the nations is the agenda of Islam. You're going to start seeing more and more of our media and our culture and the nation of the earth putting before us, you must not become Islamophobic. You must not be hateful of Islamic people. You must embrace the Islam religion. I wouldn't be surprised if within 5 or 10 years from now, I wouldn't even be able to speak like this behind a pulpit like this. It wouldn't shock me. Because Islam, you don't understand this, is actually very, very evangelistic. They're taking entire nations over right now as I speak across this planet. In Tanzania, we was in Zambia, right above Zambia's Tanzania, Africa. It is right now happening where ladies are being pulled out of cars that are driving vehicles, getting their heads cut off by Muslims because they're not obeying Sharia law in Tanzania. This is an African nation. There's many, many believers in Tanzania. And we have many good things taking place by missionaries across southern Africa, so forth, so on. But we're seeing Islam getting stronger and stronger and stronger in nations of the earth. What I want to say to you guys is this, you might be amazed by how successful Islam will appear to be in the next few years ahead of us. Will that be enough to impress you? For you start questioning, is Christianity really the religion of the earth? I'm seeing Islam and Muslims doing this, 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 and this successfully. Maybe I'm not serving the right God. Many of our youth will have questions like that before them in this nation as time goes by. Right now, what Muslims are doing in America, they're finding bankrupt churches across our country and buying them to become Muslim mosques across our country. And you're going to see that happening more and more and more. I'm not saying don't be afraid of that, don't fear that, but realize God wants Muslims to become born-again believers in Jesus Christ. There are many Muslims getting saved right now by the thousands across the earth. So there shall be a kind of a dichotomy of good things happening, bad things happening at the same time. I don't hate Muslims. I love Muslims. They need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? And realize again, echo chambers are being built by the media, by our leaders in government, by commercials, so forth, so on. We must not let the echo chambers drown out the voice of God in these last days. Amen? So I'm moving on here. God will always raise up a voice of faith to speak against strongholds upon the earth. And praise God, there shall be many people come to Christ in the days ahead that are bound by Satanism, that are bound by witchcraft, that are bound by Muslim, Islam, that are bound by whatever, because Jesus has come to set people free. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's alive today and is working through us. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to wake up, come alive, and realize the power and authority we have in Jesus' name. That no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. But God's will is going to prosper. Amen? So moving on here, Psalm 29, verse 3 says this. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The word waters always talks about populations of people across the earth. The voice of the Lord is over all the peoples of the earth. He goes on and says, it breaks the cedars. It strips the oaks. It bends the cedars of Lebanon. It goes on and talks how powerful God's voice really is. And God's voice is like that even today, because God is still here. Amen? You know, I'm so proud again of Dave Reaver, the guy you might have seen on TV, this evangelist. This guy was hit by a phosphorus grenade back in the Vietnam War. He was burned badly on the side of his face, on his side, his chest, his arms, his legs. He's got one ear burned off. He's got an eye that he's lost. Half his face has been melted. His nose was burned off. This guy is very, very disfigured and even has half his mouth twisted like a stroke victim. But he's still seeing thousands of people coming to Jesus Christ. He will not let the echo chamber of what he went through define who he is in Jesus Christ today. Amen? The same thing's true of Joyce Meyer, praise God. She's blessed by her own dad for weeks, months, and years. Yet we see her now before tens of thousands of people in live crusades across our country. She will not let the echo chamber of her bad past dictate her present or her future in Jesus' name. May God show each one of us our past will not dictate our future, because God's with us. Who can be against us? Number two, to not let our past hinder our future, we must learn and choose to move out of the basement. Move out of the basement. There's mainly three parts of our mind that we can actually live in. And those three parts are actually defined by the basement, the living room, and the rooftop. Those who live in Kansas, where I'm from, have all got basements. You guys in Texas, your basement is your garage and your attic. Amen? In Kansas and Oklahoma and other northern states where there's not radon gas everywhere and gumbo for soil, they've got real basements. In our basements, they've got a place there to store all the things from our past. You'll find past hobbies. You'll find old wedding dresses. You'll find old picture albums. You'll find spiders and lizards sometimes. You'll find mustiness. You'll find old furnaces that burn gas. And all these things make weird noises at night. Back growing up in Wichita, Kansas, I told you guys time and again, as a young boy, my biggest fear was werewolves and vampires, watching too many old horror movies. As I'm in my house at night, sometimes by myself in Wichita, Kansas, about age 12 or 13, I remember hearing that gas furnace would crank up. The fire would burn and expand all the rivets and expand all the metal, and all these weird popping, booming noises came out of my basement. I was guaranteed someone's down there transforming in from a man to a werewolf. They're trying to break down the stairs, break down the doors, and here they come. I mean, I had a lot of fear of those kind of things, those noises that are there. Basements are sometimes scary things, sometimes musty things, sometimes things to store not just past failures or past hobbies, but even sometimes good things, good memories, good successes. The basements are there. But God's saying to us, we cannot live in our basements. Nobody lives in the basement. Yet many Christians are letting their old past, their old basement, be their main dwelling place in their lives. You meet them, and before too long, their conversation goes to, this person hurt me, this person wounded me, this person bruised me. I went through these bad things in life, and all these old storage things in their basement comes up to the surface, showing us, I mainly live in the basement of my life. God is saying, get out of the basement. Go to the next level. That's called the living room. Living rooms are the place where most folks spend most of their times. Living rooms in most of our houses are up to date. They've got furniture, flooring, electronics that are all up to date to 2015, most of us. Some need that, amen? All wives said amen. Now some folks, so their living rooms have not changed for 20 or 30 years. God is saying it's time to update somewhat, okay? But living rooms are a place where lights are on. We can see things around us. The more light, the better. There's color. There's vibrance. We spend most of our time in the living room. That's what God wants for your life. There's also the third thing called the rooftop. The rooftop's a place where if you live there, you're going to find your neighbors are going to call you crazy and strange and weird. What would it be like if I'd say someone called me up and said, where's Cheryl at? Back on the roof again. Why is she on the roof? Well, better view up there. She can see further. They say, well, there's something wrong in that family. Let's go ahead and cancel that dinner date this coming Friday night with this couple here. Let's try to find somebody else to eat with this coming weekend. There's something wrong there. But many believers, many Christians sometimes spend too much time on the rooftops. Rooftops are good for perspective. They're good for vision. They're good for fresh air. They're good to receive more sunlight. They're good to receive open heavens. We all want open heavens, amen? But you cannot live on the rooftop. You got to get down on that rooftop sometimes and get back in the living room and get where the rubber hits the road. You know, in these last days again, unbelievers are looking for real people that are real Christians and real believers who also know the culture somewhat today. Amen. When I went to Bible school at Christ for the Nations back in 1979, these two young men came in from Arkansas. They were totally full of zeal and power and fire for Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. They told us in the first 2 days of school, every person who's walked through the doors of our dormitory has been slain in the spirit. And it shall be so our entire 2 years on this campus. We believe, God, that every person who walks through our doors will be slain in the power of Almighty God. That took about 3 days to be squashed in their brains. You can't live like that. Everybody that walks to the door of my house gets slain in the spirit for 2 solid years. God is saying it's time to come down to earth and realize we do need mountaintop and rooftop experiences, but there's to be more effective in the living room experiences. Amen? And to deal with our basement experiences. Rooftops are there for a season, for a moment. We cannot live there, though, all the time. Sometimes folks are so heavenly minded, they become no earthly good. King David had rooftop experiences himself, but they kept him from dwelling in the basements of his life. His basements were things that said your brothers are jealous of you and they're taunting you. His basement said things like the giant is now coming against you. His basement said things like King Saul is trying to cut your head off and kill you. His basement said things like the men of Ziklag want to stone you and kill you because they've lost their livestock and lost their families. His basement said things like you committed adultery and caused a woman's husband to get murdered. All those echo chambers were in the mind of David very often. But he conquered those echo chambers by rooftop experiences. The Bible says he learned to encourage himself in the Lord. He learned to praise God, worship God, bless the Lord, draw near to him, let his heart be consumed by God's presence. And he would not dwell in the basements of his life. The truth is, all of us in this room today have something to be ashamed of, to regret, which you can go back in the past and change it, me included. You can't do that. What you can do, let the blood of Jesus Christ wash your past away. Tear down the chambers of echo chambers in your life and let his voice come through that says he loves us, he forgives us, he cleanses us, he embraces us, he's for us, not against us. And God is always with us unconditionally in our lives. Amen? When Psalm 40, verse 1, again, give those words. I remind you again, he waited patiently for God. It means cheerful endurance took place in his life. Moving on here, number three, the third way you take, make sure your past does not influence your future. Let's learn from a man in the Old Testament whose name is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. In Mark chapter 10, we find Jesus goes to Jericho. We find him meeting a man there who's got more courage and more determination than any person that Jesus met in his earthly ministry, in his 3.5 years of ministry on the face of the earth. The Bible says Jesus comes to Jericho in Mark chapter 10. And in this place, Jericho is known to us for wickedness, evil, and sin that was so rampant that God said to Israel, march around this city 7 times, blow your trumpet, and the walls will come tumbling down and kill everybody in the city except for Rahab the prostitute. Amazing, the prostitute lives and they all die. Because she became righteous, they remained wicked. What this shows you and I is God will send Jesus to the most cursed place on the face of the earth to see the gospel goes forth and rescues a person who's seeking God as their Lord and Savior. Amen? I haven't been to a place on earth yet where I don't see that God won't go there and send his light into darkness by the power of his Spirit. Jesus comes here. A man named Bartimaeus is there. The whole town calls him blind Bartimaeus. His condition became his identity. That's a sad thing. People will actually label us according to our shortcomings. When I was only about 10 years old, my two front teeth came out. I'd suck my thumb till I was about 7 or 6 years old. When you do that, it creates a thing called buck teeth. I would bite a red apple and put racing stripes on the apple. I mean, I had a gap that was so big, I got straws caught in my teeth, okay? My name became Bucky Beaver when I was about 11 or 12 years old. Praise God, my dad finally broke down and bought the braces, and I got my teeth straightened out in my early teens. Praise God for that. But my nickname was my shortcoming, Bucky Beaver. Told you guys about 2 months ago about a guy named Tardy Turner, always late for school, late almost every day. His name became Tardy Turner. His shortcoming became his name on earth. Another guy at the grocery store I worked at, this guy was about 21, 22 years old. He had no personality. He was always quiet. He was shy. He wouldn't talk to folks in the break room. He had no dates, no girlfriends. They called him Mr. Personality. His shortcomings became his name at his job. That's just how human nature tends to work. This guy's name became Blind Bartimaeus. Jesus Christ picks this man out of the crowd to do a miracle in his life and bring total transformation and tear the echo chambers down in his life. When Jesus shows up, he begins to set in motion by the presence of Almighty God, like it always does do this. He begins lifting him out of his basement, putting him into his living room and a place to function in the power and the might of Almighty God in his life. Bartimaeus' freedom from his past began when he rose above the crowd who knew the facts. The fact was, Jesus of Nazareth is coming to our city. Bartimaeus said, no, the Son of David is coming to Jericho. The Son of David, that term means this: the one of miracles, the one of healings, the Messiah, the one who God lives in. God in the flesh is coming here among us. Not just Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but the Son of David is coming among us. And my blindness can be healed this day. Well, here we find Christ again walking down Jericho's streets. God is taking time through Christ to talk to Bartimaeus. The battle begins with Bartimaeus. He says, what do you want done for you? What should I do for you, Bartimaeus? The battle begins. The echo chamber kicks in. Bartimaeus begins to hear the crowds. They're saying, shut up. Leave the Messiah alone. Leave him be. Go back to your begging. Be quiet. Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, just shut your mouth. Praise God, blind Bartimaeus thought for a while in his brain, will the echo chambers kick in? Will I just be quiet and shut up? He says, no, I will not. He pulls his cloak off. The cloak is a beggar's cloak. He needs a cloak to beg legally where he's at in Jericho. He pulls the cloak of a beggar off, and he throws it at Jesus Christ's feet. And then these other things begin to kick in, I believe, in his own mind. He says to himself, Jesus Christ asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus could have said, I just want to survive. Please replace my old tattered beggar's garment with a brand new, clean, fresh one. I just need to survive. He didn't do that, praise God. He could have gone to a thing called success mode. He could have said, Jesus, tell the crowd, empty your pockets, give this man all you've got, make sure he has all the money he needs for food and shelter and a future upon the earth. Praise God that he did not do that as well. What he did do is a thing called significance. He says, I want to receive my sight. I want the echo chamber. I want the strong man bound, and I want it torn down from my life by the power of Almighty God. And God is saying to you and I as well, when Jesus Christ shows up, let us be those who don't go into survival mode or success mode only. Go into the mode of significance and say, Father God, do that which brings forth life, not just today, but for eternity, in Jesus' name. There's always going to be two voices come inside your mind when strongholds are there. One voice is a voice of religion that's an echo, many echoes all around us. The other voice is a voice of revelation that's the voice of Almighty God that says, this is the way of the Lord, walk ye in it. And through that, receive life, says God. When Bartimaeus saw the crowd, his instincts kick in there. He says, this is not a crowd I want to take and beg from anymore. This is a crowd I want to take and be delivered from in Jesus' name. And God heard him. I want James to come back to the platform now if you do that. I want you to look here in Mark chapter 10, verse 50. Mark 10, 50 says these words. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. The cloak is showing in his own life, I don't need to be a beggar anymore. I see my eyesight coming back. I see my name, blind Bartimaeus, being changed. I see the Son of God transforming my life. I see the echo chambers being removed from me by the power of Almighty God. As we close right now today, and we just bow our head and close our eyes for a moment, we're going to pray in a moment. I'm going to say in closing here, we need to be like Bartimaeus and speak to our strongholds. Be like King David and tear down echo chambers. Be like the Son of God who would not let the world around him, who yelled out in his last minutes, crucify him, crucify him, away with him, kill him. He is a blasphemer, false prophet. He is not who he says he is. Jesus Christ would not let those voices penetrate the voice of his Father. His Father's voice said, you are my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Before Jesus Christ did one miracle, one healing, one teaching, he got baptized by John the Baptist. The Bible says that the voice of God the Father manifested. And he said, this is my Son. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. That voice was all that Jesus Christ needed for 3.5 years of ridicule, backbiting, backstabbing, betrayal, sneers, body language was all against him. Did not matter. He knew who he was. He was a Son of God, sent from above to be the Redeemer of mankind, to give his life as a ransom for many and come in our lives and set us free. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. The good news today is this. Jesus Christ is here among us. He's walking here among us. We heard about the vision today from our sister Susan as well. We see Jesus Christ. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What this means to us is God is omnipresent all the time. He's here among us right now this morning. And my prayer today is this. If you discern today, you have an echo chamber that keeps on reminding you of past failures, past weaknesses, things you've done that you might even be ashamed of. The devil's going to try to use those against you to try to bring calamity to your life and help you make wrong decisions in your life, take you down a wrong path. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That means he knows the path to take every day of your life. Would you be honest this morning today, if you're a person who detects there are some echo chambers perhaps that need to be removed out of your life today, would you just raise one hand to God right now, just quickly raise a hand to God? Anybody else? I want to see how many folks here and we want to pray with today. Let's all stand to our feet, please. Let's all stand up to our feet. I want those people that raise your hands, those who want to join them, go ahead and come to the front now if you do that, please. Go ahead and just come to the front. Just begin to stand side by side. I'm not gonna make Cheryl try to make her pray because she can't pray out loud, but I do want her to agree with me just where she's at in a whisper. I want Anson to help me out here and Jack Adams and Susan and all the prayer partners that are here to help me out this morning as well. So stand behind these people. I want us all that are out here in our seats that didn't come to the front here, I want you to take it right now. Just invite the presence of God among us. Because God's got many names. There's God Jehovah Nisi, our banner of victory. There's God Jehovah Jireh, our provider. There's God Jehovah Rohi, the Lord God, our shepherd. We believe that the Lord God who sets people free and transforms lives is here among us right now today. To tear down echo chambers off these lives and minds and hearts, as only he can do by the power of his Spirit. Let's reach our hands, our faith out right now towards these people. I'm just going to pray a brief prayer, touch them, believe God to just do a ministry to them. But I want to set in motion right now. I believe God that when we pray for you folks that are up here right now, there's going to be a setting in motion of you being drawn to scriptures, to the Bible, to God's word, and also even divine coincidences. It's going to take and bring to you a complete transformation in your mind, that those things of the past will no longer vex your future in the name of Jesus. Let's pray together for these people. Thank you, Lord. A deep work, a lasting work in these lives that are here. We just thank him for his goodness and mercy. I pray this entire week here again that as you go through the week, if you start discerning, there are some echo chambers in my mind. The enemy's trying to remind me of too many successes, too many failures. Either one can be a danger to us. May God give us his truth, his light, and today's word, I want to be as Issachar was, who discerned the times, knew the seasons they lived in, and God was with them. I want to make sure that Soke sees me by the end of the service here. I got something for Soke from Africa as well. And I want to make sure that all the Asiatos as well see me. God bless all you folks that were praying for us in our trips, our travels. I praise God. I'm getting better all the time by God's grace. I can come back from a nation that's got an 8-hour time change on a Friday night and speak on a Sunday morning. And I'm still able to think halfway decent by God's grace. Amen. So keep on praying that happens there. Pray for Cheryl. God restores her voice, that voice comes right back here again, and that she'll find herself refreshed, restored here in her bodies. I'm going to go ahead and let Jack one more time dismiss us in prayer. If you do that, thank you for helping us out, Jack and Kristen, James, all the folks who helped out when we was gone here. I appreciate all the help you've given there. And may God bless this week for each one of you. If you guys can come back Wednesday night for John Bevere's DVD series and the groups that are thereafter, please come back for that. You'll enjoy that. And also, this coming Saturday morning, all the men that are here, if you can, be here at, what did you say, 8:30 or 8?
It's 9 o'clock this time,
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock here in the sanctuary for Pastor David Woodard, Nacogdoches, Texas. He's going to have a good word for us. There'll be some good things happening for fellowship also in that time together. God bless you, folks. We'll see you back here by faith later on this week. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would ask that you just bow your heads for just a minute. There's just a little bit more business that needs to be done. So bear with me. Bow your heads, and I'm going to speak to some things that are in the air. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind demonic forces that are influencing minds, the minds of people that want to know the living God. I bind those demonic forces in the name of Jesus right now. And just listen carefully. Keep your heads bowed. So I speak to you the things of God, those that want to know the living God. You are free to know me. You are free to know me because everything must bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to know me, you can come. For I have freed you to come into the fullness of my knowledge. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for this time, Lord God. I thank you that this day we can leave things behind us according to the word that was spoken, the echo chambers, we can leave them behind and from glory to glory come into your presence and be changed. I thank you for that. Father, I pray that your blessing be with all the saints this day as we go forth. We thank you for your goodness and grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. If anybody else wants prayer, I'm going to linger up here for a few minutes.